Hello, and welcome to the Simple Faith Podcast from the Faith Formation for Children and Youth Department at St. Catherine of Siena Church in Austin, Texas. Our goal is to offer short and simple thoughts and reflections as part of our Faith Formation program. We hope you will find them helpful. This year's theme is Living Leisurely Through the Liturgical Year, and the title of today's podcast is My Sin, Your Problem. The Gospel reading for the fifth Monday of Lent tells the story of the woman caught in adultery. Every time I hear this story, I remember being back in college and attending a national conference for Catholic college students. It must have taken place around this time of year because the keynote speaker included a reference to it in her talk. To the group of hundreds of college students, she asked the question, "What about the man caught in adultery? Why didn't he make it into the story?" Years later, I realized this isn't a monumental development of biblical scholarship. However, I've never forgotten it, and it colors my interpretation of almost all the other stories about women in the Bible. Another striking biblical story about a woman and adultery comes as the first reading for the fifth Monday of Lent. It's the story of Susanna from the Old Testament book of Daniel. It tells the story of Susanna, a beautiful woman who was married to Joachim and also faithful to God. Two men, who were elders of the people and judges, began to lust after her. One day when Susanna was bathing alone in her garden, the two old men jumped out from hiding and told her to give in to their desire. If she didn't, they would publicly accuse her of adultery. But rather than give in to the men, Susanna began to scream, and so did the men. Her maids and others rushed to them, and the men accused her publicly of adultery. Scripture says, "The assembly believed them, since they were elders and judges of the people, and they condemned her to death." While the elders testified falsely against her, Susanna cried out to God, "Eternal God, you know what is hidden and are aware of all things before they come to be. You know that they have testified falsely against me. Here I am about to die, though I have done none of the things for which these men have condemned me." We are told the Lord heard her prayer. And suddenly a young boy named Daniel, moved by the Spirit of God within him, jumped up and challenged the verdict. At his word, the trial was reopened and the two elders were questioned separately. One falsely testifies that Susanna and her lover were seen under a mastic tree, while the other falsely testified they were under an oak tree. The book of Daniel says, "The whole assembly cried aloud, blessing God who saves those who hope in him. They rose up against the two old men, for by their own words Daniel had convicted them of bearing false witness. They condemned them to the fate they had planned for their neighbor. In accordance with the law of Moses, they put them to death. Thus was innocent blood spared that day." Last week, a man in Atlanta, Georgia, went into three spas and killed eight people. It was reported he targeted those businesses for providing an outlet for his addiction to sex. Because he struggled with a sin, other people had to pay the price. Just like Susanna and the elders, for their lust, she must die. It might be easy to cast shame on the victims and say they shouldn't have worked for those businesses. At a news conference, a police spokesman stated, "The alleged shooter had a bad day," to possibly explain why he killed eight people. How often do we do something similar? "She was rude, so I spoke back rudely. He cut in front of me in traffic, so I gave in to road rage. I was bullied, so I acted out. I grew up in a racist neighborhood, so I'm going to be racist. I didn't sleep well, or I didn't have time to go by Starbucks for coffee this morning. I'm just grouchy, or I'm tired of feeling like a victim. Something happened or someone did X, so I had no choice but to respond by doing or saying Y." Wrong. We are coming to the end of Lent. Jesus could have given a list of reasons as long as the universe as to why we didn't deserve God's love. He could have said, "These people turn from God, so I'm going to turn away from them." Or, "I only came for the Jews, so you Gentiles are on your own. You're not the right kind of religion for me. Peter, you denied me, so that's it. I'm done. Our friendship is over. Woman caught in adultery, you know the rules and you broke them. I'm a law and order savior, not a forgiving one." But he didn't. Why not? Because as Christians, we are constantly called to be transformed into the image and likeness of God. We are continually called to transformation, and we are called to be more like Jesus, to become another Jesus. As we journey through this fifth week of Lent, the Gospel readers are going to draw us deeper and deeper into the realization of what's coming next week, Holy Week. The path ahead of Jesus becomes clear. He could have chosen to do Y because we chose to do X, but he didn't. The man who killed 8 people because of his addiction to sex was unable to face his own truth. He found the struggle to be transformed too difficult. While he was reported to be a Christian, perhaps he only knew the law and order Jesus, and not the compassionate, loving, forgiving one. Jesus says to the woman caught in adultery, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" She replied, "No one, sir." Then Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go, and from now on, do not sin anymore." Neither do I condemn you. The American writer James Baldwin said, "I imagine one of the reasons people cling to their hate so stubbornly is because they sense once hate is gone, they will be forced to deal with pain." And Socrates said, "From the deepest desires often come the deadliest hate." These last days of Lent, what have we got to lose by yielding ourselves to God? What have we got to lose by facing those parts of ourselves we despise the most, we fear and hide the most, and giving them over to the compassionate love of Jesus? As did the woman caught in adultery, can we open ourselves to Jesus and be transformed to a new life? Or are we too unwilling to face the truth that we want others to pay the price for our sins? Even if that's the case, it's time to recognize someone has already done that, and it's up to us to accept it.